actions which tell you do that work. You do that silly action, looks silly, but it will open a key. Why? Because we analyze this. What is here as knowledge? Do you remember? So a part of it is what we could call ilm, science. Scientifically, you know something in here, right? Is that all? Of course not. There is another section. In that section, all your guesses are there. Vaguely you guess this, and you know that, right? Let's go to the other department of your brain. You have some opinions. Very questionable one. Where did you get it? How did you get it? And all that. Let's put them aside. Okay, those are not real knowledge, your opinion. Then, let's go somewhere else. Then, there are some ideologies out there that you don't know, but you don't like. And these are all your knowledge. This is what we want to talk about. You should know this. This one, when it is talking, it's not always talking nonsense, and it's not always talking reality and scientifically. Right? There are times that this goes that and that, and we want you to understand all of that. This is the subject we are in. He started with what? With some illusion in Pharaoh. Pharaoh will get sick because of some illusions about Moses. He's talking about these two parts. He said, okay, let's stop that. Do you remember? Let's go back a couple of pages. Before that, he said, let's go back and back. Not too much back. After the example of the elephant, when he started to say, he explained that, okay, there are some things that they look opposite, but they are not opposite. That was 1360. The reconciliation of these two traditions, right? He said, okay, this one will play with this stuff. Am I correct? Am I back where we were a couple of days before, right? Then he said, let me tell you what bewilderment is. Then he told us about a story which was a little bit bizarre. He jumped to another one and said, look at a lover who is in the presence of beloved and still reading the love letters. Do you remember all these stories? He's talking about knowing and not knowing, being in a condition. What is the understanding of all of this? Then suddenly he went to that famous story. Somebody who was asking only God for something, a cow came in, he killed him, you remember? And he just left him. A long story about the guy, a very short, 2, 4, 5 verses only, about the cow being killed. Then he said what? The poet himself, Rumi, said, oh my God, how am I going to tell this? Oh, you who want me to go on, help me. How could I say this difficult stuff? Right? So, what happened after that? We arrived to a very simple explanation of knowledge, wisdom, ilm, knowing should have two wings. Remember that? What was those two wings? Do you remember those two wings? They said the science, scientific explanation has only one wing. And one wing cannot fly. There is something else which has two wings. We call the second one the real knowledge. The knowledge which we are going to explain, and it's extremely difficult. This is why I was crying for help to explain this to you, because I want you to know the knowledge of Gabriel. Do you remember the knowledge of Gabriel? Gabriel knows everything. How does he know it? He said, you know it without any disputation, without any doubt, without any guessing. Nothing, just plain knowledge. That's what I call knowledge. How does it happen? He said, you should imagine a fellow with a belief inside that if everybody will come and say, oh, you're right, he doesn't move even. I knew it. Everybody comes and says, you're wrong. No, I know I'm wrong. I'm right, that's it. Knowing by heart, deeply, strongly, believing. That's what we want to talk about. Do you remember all of this? These are the beginning of what we are going to hear tonight. Yes, Peter.
The story of the cookie and his miraculous gifts. That the cookie had a fair front. He was a lord who loved and possessed miraculous gifts. He walked on earth as the moon in heaven. By him the spirits of the night travelers became illumined. He would not make his abode in any one place. He would not spend 2 days in the village. He said, if I stay 2 days in one house, love of that dwelling place is kindled in me. I am afraid of being beguiled by the dwelling place. Migrate, O my soul, and travel to independence. I will.
Yes, I'm waiting for explanation. What is all that? Just a presentation of some fellow which looks perfect, right? This is what we are dreaming to approach. This is the God. First of all, he is looking for someone. Means he has forgotten about all independence stuff and me. Me is not in him anymore. Wherever he goes, he doesn't stay very long, because this is not home. He's looking around to find something. He is being explained to be a real seeker, right? Almost like a homeless. He's looking around to find someone to learn. So it's the perfect picture of a good seeker, right? Yeah.
I will not accustom my heart's nature to locality in order that it may be pure in the trial. During the day he was in travel, during the night in ritual prayer. His eye opened onto the king, and he like the falcon, severed from the creatures, not on account of ill nature, isolated from man and woman, not because of dualism. A compassionate man to the creatures and beneficial as water, a goodly intercessor, and his prayers were answered.
You see, verse by verse, you see the picture with more details. A very good seeker who doesn't stay somewhere for so long, and we had two verses which were in Arabic, 26 and 27, then he came back and said, okay, he was in a process, day and night, praying. And remember that eagle we were talking about? He was just like that eagle we were talking about, which is seeking only the information that the kings wants to know. Who sees that means he has developed the best attitude as a seeker of the truth. At the same time, he is different. He doesn't really melt with the other people, not because he doesn't like them, because he prefers that solitude. Of course he likes them. He is the kindest fellow to them, and he has almost no negative attitude up to here. Yes.
Kind to the good and the bad, and a sure refuge, better than a mother, dearer than a father. The prophet said, O sirs, to you I am compassionate and kind as a father, because ye are all parts of me. Why will you tear the part away from the whole?
Suddenly the explanation of that was not enough. A quotation from a prophet. Prophet said what? Prophet said, you fellows, I'm like father to you because you are a part of me. And a part shouldn't be separated from totality. You remember we talked about it a lot, and this is the meaning of the we. I should understand that I'm a part of this. So the prophet said, I'm like that. It doesn't matter where you're standing. You should look at the others as a part of you. Yes?
The part severed from the whole becomes useless. The limb severed from the body becomes carrion. Till it is joined once more to the whole, it is dead. It has no consciousness of life. And if it move, yet it has no support. The newly severed limb also moves.
You see, he's explaining something very basic in the philosophy session 101, when they want to talk about the part and the totality, the relationship between the part of a system and the system. He's explaining that very clearly to let you know what we are talking about. Is that among all the different examples that he could systematically find, he went to the limb of a living creature and he said, okay, this limb is alive because it's connected to me. Cut it off, it's not alive. Even if it moves, it's not alive. Because when you cut a limb, yeah, there are some automatic reflections over there. It's moving for a couple of minutes maybe, but it's not alive. So, yes?
If the part be severed and fall asunder from this whole, this is not the whole that is liable to defect.
Uh-huh. When we talk about a part and a whole, the best machine you could imagine, or one could imagine up to my youth, is a watch. Everything is working together, there is work. You take one piece apart, that piece is useless, and the watch stops working. Forget that system. That was a very silly, one-way working connection of the machinery. Now, there are a lot of parts of this machine. They cut it off, they throw it away, and the machine is working sometimes even better. Ask that doctor. When you get sick, they will cut off some part of you, throw it away, and you feel better. So, what was that part of it? Think about the system that when the parts don't work, the system works and doesn't lose any capability. Is that possible? Is it possible a system that loses some parts